the Financial Sense Midweek Edition with Jim Poplava. Delving in-depth with authors and experts into the key economic issues.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income. A very, very important topic today. I'll let John give you the details.
Indeed, I will. I'm John Loeffler, and our guest this week is Yolanda York from the Social Security Administration. We are going to discuss important changes in SSA for 2015, along with the topic of maximizing your Social Security benefits. And today, we're going to discuss an important topic to every working American, and we've already introduced it, Social Security. We're going to do a deep dive into Social Security, the facts and circumstances, and there are changes in 2015. More importantly, rethinking your Social Security benefits and showing you how to maximize them. Two most important decisions people make, when to stop working and when to claim Social Security benefits. So, Jim, let's look at the facts.
Well, let's talk about some of the obvious things that have gone into effect in 2015. First of all, some of the bad news. If you're working and paying into Social Security, you're going to pay Social Security taxes on the first $118,500 of income. Anything over that, you get to pay Medicare tax, which is 1.45%. And if you reach a certain level, you can even pay an additional 0.9% after that. Now, if you're working, maybe you're a spouse, the kids have grown up and you're going to work right now. To earn Social Security credits, you must have 40 credits to get your own Social Security other than your spousal benefit. You must have earnings of $1,220 in the quarter. And if you are receiving Social Security, maybe you're one of those guys, Larry, lots of bucks that paid a lot of money into Social Security, the maximum benefit that you can receive this year is $2,663.
Okay, well, those are the tax facts. Now, what about the options for spouses, widows, ex-spouses, and taking Social Security early or at full retirement age or delaying it till even later than that? You know, there are so many misperceptions right now. We were just discussing that here, as a matter of fact, yesterday, and somebody said, oh, really? I didn't know that, you know, regarding these decisions. And once a decision is made, in many cases, it is reversible and costly. And sometimes, Jim, I've heard horror stories and very difficult to be able to change that. And so for investors, it's a big decision with very major consequences.
Well, John, you're right. Two of the most important decisions that you're going to make when you head into retirement is one, the age at which you enter retirement, and two, the age at which you start taking Social Security. Now, there are a number of issues too, including your own specific situation, whether you're married, whether you're divorced, whether you're a widow. And there are a number of things that finally come up. There is, for example, age 60. That's the earliest age you can receive a reduced benefit if you are a widower. The next significant age when it comes to Social Security is age 62. That's the earliest age you can claim your own or your spousal benefit. Age 65 is another milestone age. That's an age that you can sign up for Medicare, and it may be to your advantage, especially as you age and you're working and paying for medical benefits, you may be cheaper off going on to Social Security even if you work. Now, here's the key age. For most individuals, it'll be either age 66 or 67. That's called full retirement age. At full retirement age, you get 100% of your Social Security benefit. A spouse could get 50% of your benefits if she's age 62 and, let's say, didn't work, or your benefits, half of your benefits would be greater. It's also an age at which a widow will get 100% of the widow's benefit. And it's an age also that you can use, if, let's say, you're the main breadwinner, to use an option called file and suspend. It allows you to file for Social Security, which then allows your wife to claim 50% of the benefits. Then you suspend payments, meaning you don't receive them, and you allow your benefits to grow to age 70, which they'll probably go up roughly by another, let's say, 33-36%. So you can have a larger age. 70 is the latest age to file. So you can see there, John, a lot of it depends on what your status is. You can be divorced, and we'll get into that. If you have filed in a situation where you are divorced and at least married for 10 years, you can also get a benefit even as a divorced single individual. You're eligible to claim some of those benefits. Also, if you're a widow or a surviving spouse, there are so many options to this that you really need to take a look at what those options are and explore them, because there is so much money involved with Social Security when you think about taking Social Security benefits over a lifetime that you may be missing out on significant benefits.
You know, I read that about 59% of retirees begin their benefits before full retirement age. So they're getting so much less in benefits. And then for baby boomers who don't have defined benefits, or they're in an era of financial repression, which we're in right now, 0% interest rates, they're foregoing significant amounts of income. And also women tend to file for benefits earlier. Why do you think that is anyway?
You know, I think it's the way the topic is framed. Most people tend to think of it, you know, when we think about Social Security, they think of it as a monthly income. In essence, it's sort of kind of like, okay, I worked all my life, I paid into it. You know, it's a government IOU. The real way to take a look at Social Security is think of it as a defined benefit pension plan. And a defined benefit pension plan, the benefits grow immensely the older you get, or the later that you wait to get those benefits. So think of it as an investment in retirement income. Let me put it in another way. There's not a single product or investment out there in the financial service industry today that could duplicate what you're going to get from Social Security. And also, the larger, let's say, your benefit or when you get, that's more money that you're going to have that you can use to supplement your retirement income. And that's less that you have to draw down on your personal assets. It really gives the investor a lot more flexibility in their retirement plans. And it's absolutely amazing that close to 60% of people take their Social Security benefit at age 62 when they are getting the least amount of benefit, and it's probably most disadvantageous to do so. You're not getting your full benefits, which you would get at age 66 or 67, depending on your age. And John, in this kind of age where, you know, we're getting 0% interest, people are a little bit more fearful of the stock market, it's less predictable. You know, that's one thing about Social Security. It's one of the few predictable things that we have out there when it comes to retirement planning.
Maybe what we should do at this point, because we've been talking about all of these options, is give some examples that would illustrate this. I mean, we can talk about, you've got this option, blah, 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 you do all that sort of stuff. But at some point, people need to have a concrete idea in their heads of what they could do, and some examples might drive home the point. And so let's take, say, for example, baby boomers, what, mid-1950s is when they started in?
Well, why don't we take a sort of a typical example? Let's say somebody that's going to be getting into Social Security age, a boomer, and let's take a look at the difference in terms of what their income is going to be at, let's say, taking their Social Security at age 62, full Social Security benefits at age 66, or delaying their benefits to age 70. And this is a person that has average earnings over their lifetime of around $80,000. Now, folks, listen to these numbers because they really become significant. If you had, let's say, average earnings of $80,000, you wanted to take your Social Security benefits as early or as soon as you could, that would be age 62. You would get a benefit, a monthly income of $1,571. This is taken from the Social Security website. Waiting to age 66, where you get full benefits, the number jumps almost $1,000 to $2,496. And listen to this, folks. If you delay taking those benefits to age 70, it goes to $3,758. I mean, look at it this way. At age 62, it's $1,571. You wait to age 66, that's a almost 59% increase in your benefit by just waiting four extra years. And even better, if you delay until age 70, which time you're allowing that additional benefit to grow, you get 139% increase more income. I mean, think about that. Almost 60% more income by waiting 4 extra years or waiting 8 years and getting 139. Think of your Social Security going from 1600 to 3800. Imagine what that difference would mean throughout the rest of your lifetime or a surviving spouse, as we'll get into as we explore several of the options here in today's case studies.
You know, that is a major, major difference when you think about it. You originally wouldn't think about it. It's just a little difference every month. But that really is if you wait till age 70, say, for example. And that's even more significant when you realize the amount of capital that would be required to make up that difference in your income.
Yeah, I mean, if you take a look at the benefits, let's take a person, let's say age 62, you take the benefit at age 62. So it's going to be reduced to the 1571. Now, let's assume you're male and you live to various ages, age 80, 85, and 90. Now, listen to the difference. If you pass away at age 80, that means you would have got benefits for 18 years. You would have got $448,030. At 85, if that's when you passed away, it would have been $620,979. Now, a lot of people say, well, if you get it early, you know, obviously you're going to get that money over a longer period of time. Let's compare those same numbers, age 80 and 85, if you wait till age 66. Let's say you pass away at age 80, your lifetime benefit would have been $514,454 versus the $448,000. So there's roughly around $65,000, $70,000 more in income. If you die at age 85, you would have received almost $759,000 versus $620,000. Now, here's where the numbers really start to explode. Let's suppose you waited to age 70, and I know you're probably thinking, gosh, if I wait to age 70, what happens if I only live to age 80? Guess what? It's $525,000, rounding it off, versus $448,000. So you're still getting $75,000 more. If you live to age 85, you're going to get $851,000 of income versus $620,000. So you can see by waiting just a few years, it really begins to mount up. Now, of course, much of this depends on, of course, life expectancy. Typically, the thinking is, well, if I start out early, I'll get the benefits and I'll receive them over a longer period of time. Even though they're smaller, I'll end up with more. That's not really the case. In reality, the smaller amount is a smaller amount received over a longer period of time. So in the three cases I just illustrated, age 62, 66, and 70, if your lifespan is 80 or 85, in each case, by waiting to age 66 or waiting to age 70, you received a significant amount of more income than you would than taking it at age 62. And I mean, you think about $200,000 more income. Let's take the difference if you waited to age 70 and assume you live to age 85. The difference is over $200,000 of income. That's almost $20,000 more income per year. John, these numbers really become significant. I mean, at age 62, the income is roughly $1,600. It's almost $2,500 at age 66, and it's almost $3,800 at age 70. We see these mistakes made over and over again with improper information or lack of planning, and unfortunately, many times they become irreversible.
So I guess what you really need to look at when you're trying to evaluate this is what we would call the break-even point. And I'm going to assume, based on your circumstances, that depends upon amounts and longevity. And there's a crossover when you're better off to wait and when you're not, and how far that's going to go in the future and whether you think you're going to live that long.
Yeah, I mean, many ways that people look at this, usually the individual starts benefits early. They receive a smaller amount, but once again, they get that lesser benefit for 4 more years than someone who waits until age 66, or 8 more years if that person, let's say, waits to age 70. And they believe it's going to take a long time for an individual who waits to age 66 or 70 to catch up on that cumulative benefits that they would have been receiving had they taken it early. You know, that's why I wanted to go over these figures, because it dispels this sort of certainty in many ways. In the example we talked about, waiting 4 years to claim at age 66 is $925 more income per month. And by age 80, by waiting until full retirement age, this person will have received more than $500,000 in cumulative income. And, you know, here's another one. If you were born in 1943 or later, for each year beyond your full retirement age that you delay the start of Social Security, your base benefit is going up at 8% a year. Can you think of anything that you can invest in, a zero coupon treasury or even the stock market, that's guaranteed to go up by 8% a year? It's something we call the delayed retirement credit. And thanks to this credit, the boost in cumulative benefits you get by waiting to age 70 is even greater in the illustration that we talked about. 10 years after starting benefits at age 70, the individual would have received over $70,000. So, you know, it really depends. If you live the average life expectancy for, let's say, an individual age 62, you will receive the same amount of lifetime benefits no matter what. And as I've shown in these illustrations, whether you live to age 80, age 85, whether you're taken at age 62, age 66, or even age 70, in the long run, you'll end up with more benefits, more income that you will receive from Social Security, John, which is just the opposite of what most people are thinking when they start taking their Social Security benefits at age 62, which is about 60% of the country.
Well, you know, I guess besides a question of looking at the income, there's a pretty strong belief out there that Social Security is going to be in trouble, and that within, you know, 10 years, 20 years, there'll be a process of reneging on this. And so what they do is they start early, so they figure they at least get something back for everything they've put in, especially the baby boomers, who was the first generation to work all of their lives and put into Social Security.
You know, that's because, John, I think the politicians have made it. Social Security has become a very divisive political issue, and the politicians obfuscate so much of the truth. There were studies done that if we increase the Social Security tax rate by 2.88%, it would basically make Social Security secure for another 75 years. Well, I can tell you right now, in the political environment, that's not going to happen. Another way to solve it is delay retirement to age 69, and you're hearing more talk about that. Remember, they've already done that, John, for you and me. Our full retirement benefit is age 66. For late stage boomers, it's age 67. And let's face it, people are living longer. When Social Security first was put into place, the average male was expected a life expectancy of 63 to 65. Today, life expectancy is closer to 80, 85 for women. So like so many other issues, including the issues on debt, it's fixable. The problem is we don't have decisive political leadership, either in the White House and Congress, and worse, the media isn't telling people the truth. The latest trustees report said if employers increase payroll tax or their contributions by 1.4, and that's matched by you, the employee, so we get that 2.8%, it's good for the next 75 years. So at some point, they're going to have to work out a compromise, because Social Security is now paying out 100% of the benefits it takes in the form of income. So, John, it's fixable. So people should not have this fear that, oh, I need to take it at age 62, because if I don't, I'm not going to get it.
Okay, well, there are a number of other questions we need to address right here. Let's start with the full retirement age. What are the limit on this particular parameter?
All right, so let's go back. If you were born, let's say, from 1937, full retirement age for you is age 65. 1937 on, it goes up a couple months. At age 1938, they add two more months. 1939, they add 4 months. And so basically, until 1942, you're building up to that age 66. Anybody born from 1943 to 1954, your full retirement benefit is age 66. Now, after 1954, they do the same thing they did after 1937. They start increasing it by 2 months every single year until you get to 1960. After 1960 and on, your full retirement benefit is age 67. So we got three full retirement age benefits. Age 65, if you're born 1937 and thereafter, working its way to age 66, which begins if you were born after 1943, and then age 67 is for anybody born after 1960. So those are three key areas to think about when you think about full retirement benefits. And that's very important too, because if you decide to take your benefits and work, or let's say you don't have enough income, you suffered a loss in your investment portfolio, and all of a sudden you go back to work, you start losing those benefits. So that's another mistake sometimes that we see people make.
You know, in our discussion earlier here, we talked about you get more income the later you wait. But what about the issue? What about a short life expectancy?
The longer you can delay the start of benefits, the bigger your monthly check is going to be. But that doesn't mean everyone should wait until they're age 70 years old. I mean, that's the best outcome. The best age to file, really, when it gets down to it, is when you need the income. I mean, if you don't have any other sources of income, you don't have a big portfolio, maybe you have a medical issue, because of retirement accounts and other income sources, though, John, some people can afford to delay claiming the benefits. Now, let's talk about an individual that has a short life expectancy. Why should they begin taking Social Security as soon as possible is usually what, you know, maybe your doctor would say, hey, you know, I'm sorry, but your health doesn't really look that good. Maybe you should start early. If you were married, that isn't necessarily the case, because if you don't need the additional income and will receive the larger benefit by delaying taking Social Security, you're going to do a number of things. You should consider delaying claiming as long as possible, regardless of your life expectancy, because the later that you delay the claim, the larger your benefit is going to be to your widow. And your spouse will get a larger benefit, and that can really make a significant difference in a surviving spouse's standard of living, especially when you might have had a pension that has a reduced benefit to a survivor. So, you know, even by delaying your own, if now, once again, this depends on income. If you don't need it, then delaying it is probably one of the best things you can do.
Now, what if you file before full retirement age and later on you decide, boy, was that a mistake? Do you have any options right now if you change your mind?
Well, here's the difficulty. If you file early and you want to stop because you say, hey, I need to go back to work, or I just didn't have good advice, the only way to stop receiving those benefits if you are under full retirement age, the key is that you can only do this if you've been receiving benefits for less than 12 months. Now, here's the other thing. In addition, you must be prepared to repay all the benefits that you or anyone else received based on your application. Let's say you filed for Social Security, you received 6 months worth of benefits, and you say, uh-oh, made a mistake, I'm going to have to go back to work, or I found out more information, this was really a bad decision. Well, you're going to have to be able to write a check. So let's just assume that you're getting $2,000 a month. You received it for 6 months, so you received $12,000. Well, you can stop it if it's less than 12 months, but then you're going to have to pay 100% of that money back to the Department of Social Security. So you'd have to be prepared immediately to write them a check for $12,000. Now, they're not going to charge you any interest on that, but nonetheless, you're going to be cutting them a check. And the key is you have to do it less than 12 months.
Well, let's talk about something related to that. You and Yolanda York have gone over this before, and that is filing and suspending.
This is a favorite strategy that we use ourselves in doing retirement plans. The first requirement in order to do this is that you must be at least at full retirement age. So that's age 66 or 67. At any point between full retirement age, let's say in this case 66, and age 70, you can request that Social Security stop sending you a monthly check. From that point on, your suspended benefit will earn what we call the delayed retirement credit, which means it will grow by 8% per every 12 months. Now, there's no special form to fill out. You can just notify Social Security in person. You can do it by phone or in writing. And your benefit will earn that 8% as long as it's suspended. Then, however, once you reach age 70, your benefits will automatically resume. Now, how does this work? It's important to understand, like file and restrict and or file and suspend, in this case, there are two separate options. File and suspend allows the spouse to begin collecting a spousal benefit while simultaneously permitting their primary Social Security account to begin earning those delayed retirement credits. In this case, we're going to say the husband. The husband files for Social Security, which then allows his wife, assuming she's age 62, to claim up to 50% of his benefits, and then he suspends his benefit and allows that to compound until age 70. Now, if you're a widow, that can happen at age 60. So, in other words, what you're doing, typically the spouse with the larger benefit, now I've seen cases where the women had the larger salary, but in most general cases, it's the husband. The spouse with the larger benefit is the one who chooses to file and suspend. Now, this strategy accomplishes two particular things. When you suspend receiving your own benefit, as I mentioned, it begins to earn the delayed retirement credit of 8% a year, which can significantly increase those benefits. Remember the difference I told you between the individual that filed at age 62, 66, and 70. At age 62, it was roughly $1,600. It was around $2,500 at age 66 and $3,800 at age 70. So in addition, by filing, even though you're not receiving any money from Social Security, your wife or husband becomes entitled to a spousal benefit, which might be larger than the benefit they would have received based on their own work history. We'll cover this in a case study we're going to do today.
You know, something else I've heard you discuss is what's called file and restrict. Now, how does that work and what does it involve getting on it?
Well, like file and suspend, file and restrict involves combining two separate options. It only applies to married couples. The full name of this strategy is file to restrict the scope of your benefit. Now, it comes into play when a spouse is entitled to more than one type of benefit. For example, if both the husband and wife are at least age 62 and each earned, let's say, the minimum 40 credits and needed to receive Social Security, then each person is entitled to two types of benefits. A benefit based upon his or her own work history, in other words, your own salary and what you paid into it, or a benefit based upon his, let's say, spousal benefit. Now, keep in mind that Social Security is never going to pay someone both benefits at the same time. So when you file and restrict, you are essentially telling Social Security, hey, since I'm entitled to more than one type of benefit, I'm choosing to restrict this to just my 50% spousal benefit at this time. Now, why would you want to do that? Because when you delay the onset of your own benefit, it will earn delayed retirement credits. So, for example, a wife may say, you know what, I'm going to apply for 50% of my spouse's benefit, but I'm not going to take mine. In the meantime, now let's say a wife does that at age 62, she gets 50% of her husband's Social Security. In the meantime, at age 62, she allows her own benefit to accumulate over the next 8 years, which means it's going to grow by almost 140%. Now, there's two things that she could do at that time. Either one, if her spouse has passed away, she could opt for her husband's Social Security benefit, or if her husband is still living, she can opt to take her own benefit now, which will be larger than, let's say, 50% of her husband's benefit at age 62. So this is another significant strategy that can be used to accumulate greater benefits over the lifetime of both husband and wife.
Finally, let's discuss the taxation of Social Security. I think that's important, too.
Well, that's kind of funny because, John, you and I are old enough to remember that, believe it or not, folks, Social Security was tax-free until 1983 because you were basically getting back your own income. I mean, think of all the money that you've paid into your 401k program. It would be like, gosh, a good portion of that was your own contribution. Well, what happened is Congress passed a major overhaul program. That was the Greenspan fix going back in 1984. They passed an overhaul program, and your benefits are subject to income tax depending on basically your income. So what happens is if you are single and you're making income of $25,000 to $34,000, including your Social Security, 50% of your Social Security will become taxable. If you make over $34,000, including Social Security, and you're single, 85% of that income is taxable. Let's go to married couples. It's a little better. between incomes of $32,000 and $44,000. If you fall in that bracket, you pay tax on 50% of your Social Security benefits. And then over $44,000, you pay tax on 85% of the benefits.
Well, it is that time when we go to real life circumstances and look at a couple of case studies where the names are changed. The case studies are actually real life studies, but we've changed the names to protect the privacies of the individuals. And I think we have several this time, Jim.
I wanted to do two case studies here, and the case studies I wanted to talk about are, I'm going to use the same age, but they're going to illustrate a point or an option. In the first case, we'll call this the case of Frank and Margie. Frank was age 66. Margie was age 62. Frank was a retired tech executive. His investments were really large enough that they could live on investment income. They had a paid-for home, and really what Frank was looking for was maximizing his benefits. So what we suggested is that Frank basically file and suspend at age 66 because he had paid maximum benefits, so his benefit would have been $26,85. Margie's benefits would have been $20,065. So what happened and what we recommended, Frank files for benefits at age 66, then suspends them, and Margie gets half of that benefit, or roughly, since she was age 62. So what would happen is she would get half of that, roughly, let's round it off and say about $1,400 a month. And then what happens is there's two options available for Margie. Now, when Frank gets to age 70, his benefit goes from $26,85, goes all the way up to over $3,600. So his income increases by almost $900 a month. Now, Margie can have two things that she could do. Either one, she could either take her benefit, which at age 62, if she allowed it to grow to age 70, then she could switch over to her own benefit, which would be larger. Or if Frank passes on, if there's a four-year age difference, and let's say women live longer than men, then she could accumulate and basically take the widower's benefit, which would be larger. So there's a couple options she has here. Number one, she can allow her own benefits to accumulate and get the deferred credit for 8 years, in which case her benefit will grow by roughly 140%. I'm rounding that off. So she can switch to her own benefit at age 70, or if, let's say, Frank passes on, she can switch over to the survivor's benefit, Frank's benefit, which would be roughly about $3,600 a month. So in this case, Frank really didn't need the income, so he files, gives 50%, allowing his wife, age 62, to get 50% of his benefit, allowing his to accumulate, so he gets more than $900 more a month. He will get more assets over the long run. So here was a case of file and suspend that works and allows for many flexible options.
Okay, let's go to our next case study, Bob and Carol. Bob is 66, Carol is 62.
Okay, in this case, we're going to take the same age, and I'm just doing this for illustration. Obviously, we've modified this somewhat. Bob is age 66, his wife Carol, age 62. Bob was a manufacturing executive. He retired at age 62 and was teaching part-time at a local community college. Carol, age 62, primarily worked part-time. Basically, she was a stay-at-home mom until the kids left the nest, and then she was working basically at lower-paying jobs. Actually, her last job was a salesperson at Nordstrom's. Here were the problems. The income Bob was getting from teaching and the local community college just about covered their basic living expenses, and he insisted they did not take any withdrawals from his retirement account and allow that to accumulate. So, in this case, Bob intends to, what was recommended, delay filing for Social Security until age 70, and his benefit is going to be much, much bigger due to the delayed retirement credit. Carol, tired about arguing about money, she wants to begin Social Security as soon as possible, so as soon as she turns 62, she would then take 50% of Bob's Social Security benefit. So there would be an additional source of income that would be coming in addition to what Bob was earning working part-time at a junior college teaching. So in this case, it was the best of both worlds, because by basically waiting to age 70, what happens is Bob gets a larger benefit. Secondly, he also has a larger retirement plan, which is a larger source of income. Meanwhile, Carol files at age 62. She's going to get half of roughly Bob's Social Security, which would be much larger than anything she would have earned, even though she paid in 40 credits working part-time. She really never earned enough money. And here's something to think about, folks. I just want to bring this up at this point. A lot of people think, boy, if I make some big bucks last 5 or 10 years before I retire, my Social Security will be a lot bigger. That's not the way it works. They take your average earnings over a 35-year period, which is why so many times you see women getting less, because a lot of women were stay-at-home moms. It wasn't until the 70s that the woman went into the workforce. And so it doesn't necessarily work that way. It's the average earnings over a 35-year period.
Well, what I think we illustrated here in all of these examples we've given and the issues we've discussed, people really need to rethink their Social Security options. They should sit down with an advisor and clearly think things through, especially in today's low interest environment, which is promising to stay low interest for quite some time, because it can really make quite a bit of difference in the amount of money that they receive over the long haul from Social Security. The other issue is that Social Security is fixable, you know, given a slight increase in taxes or deferring age until a later date, or a combination of the above. But in an age where we have no more defined benefit plans, probably the way to view Social Security is a pension plan with assurance, and there's not much in the financial world that can actually beat that one. Now, speaking of Social Security, coming up next, Yolanda York from the Social Security Administration will be talking about maximizing benefits and looking at the important changes to Social Security in 2015. All of that coming up next on Lifetime Income at FinancialSense.com.
You're listening to the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. To speak to Jim Poplava or his Lifetime Income Specialists, call us toll-free at 888-486-3939. That's 888-486-3939. We'd be glad to help you plan your customized retirement portfolio.
For many Americans, Social Security plays a major part of their retirement plan. And especially in an environment with low interest rates, the decisions you make on Social Security could have a major impact on your retirement. Joining us from the Department of Social Security in San Diego is Yolanda York. And Yolanda, why don't we start out with some of the changes that went into effect for 2015 for our listeners?
Well, there's a couple of things that people really should be kept abreast. And I do want to highlight, you'll hear this information on the radio, but visiting our website, socialsecurity.gov, will give you all the new updates that we have, which is the cost of living 1.7. The Medicare premium remained the same at $104.40 for the Medicare Part B. But what is really new today, you know, there's going to be millions of taxpayers who will be gathering forms to do their federal and state local taxes. And Social Security always sends these individuals 1099 so they can do their taxes. But as of this month, individuals, if they misplaced it, lost their 1099, or never received it, they can go online to our socialsecurity.gov website and request the 1099 and have this information at your fingertips.
Well, that's good, especially as people get ready to file their tax return. Yolanda, let's talk about the base at which Social Security tax is assessed has gone up this year. What's that limit? I think it's $118,500. Would that be correct?
That's exactly right, yes. So after this, Social Security no longer taxes your FICA taxes. So the limit is at $118,500.
But you do pay Medicare tax, is that correct, above that amount?
Oh, yes. So the Medicare tax does continue to be unlimited, and those taxes do continue.
Okay. Now, let's say that this year, let's talk about full retirement benefits, because this fact alone continues to surprise people. I had an individual that was working that was age 67, and when he came in, we were doing a financial plan for him. I told him, I said, why aren't you getting your Social Security benefits? And he said, well, I don't want to lose it because I'm working. And the good news was, I told him, I said, you know, at age 66, you can take full Social Security benefits and not be penalized. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, Jim, I'm so glad you're bringing that up because I do find out the same information from individuals. When you become full retirement age, and checking full retirement age is different for everyone, but most people, if you're born between 1943 and 1954, full retirement age is 60. So at 60, you can earn unlimited earnings and continue to get all of your Social Security checks. If you retire at 62, there is an allowable that you can earn, and it's up to $15,000, some change. And so after that, we hold $1 for every two, and that's between 62 and full retirement age. And the month you attain full retirement age, then again, it's unlimited earnings. And, you know, you do have a lot of doctors, nurses, you know, anyone really in the field that they may decide they want to start collecting their benefits at 70 because, again, if somebody doesn't choose to take their Social Security at full retirement and wait till 70, then they get an additional 8% more per year for every year they delayed their retirement earnings. But what individuals, and I'm just going to highlight, we have a fantastic publication. It's called What Every Woman Should Know. Highly recommend individuals get this publication, and you want to read page 13 and 14 because it helps you maximize your Social Security benefit. And I'll share an example. I have a woman 2 weeks ago. She's a nurse. She's full retirement age. But she said to me, no, Yolanda, I want to continue till 70 and get 132% because, again, you will earn 8% more per year if you don't take your benefits at 66. And I said, but Sharon, I know your husband's retired, and, you know, her husband happens to be 72 years of age. He's getting 100% of his benefits, actually $2,300 a month. And I said to her, Sharon, do you know that because you're full retirement age, you could now get 50% from what your husband is drawing? He gets his full $2,300, and she can get 50% because she's basically going to file claim now under as a spouse, get 50%, and she'll get 48 months of 50% benefit. And when she becomes 70, she's going to cancel those spousal benefits and then get 132% of her own benefits. She was so shocked that she could do that. But these are the things that you sort of learn when you, you know, come into our website, learn what we have to share for you and ways to maximize benefits.
And the name of that document on the site, Yolanda, is What Every Woman Should Know, and that what you're talking about there specifically are pages 13 and 14?
Yes, that kind of gives you the insights of this little scenario.
Aren't there some pitfalls sometimes when you claim the spousal benefit before your full retirement age?
If you are full retirement age, there is no penalty. If you were to take it at 62, then that's a whole different matter. If you take a reduction, you will always have a reduction because, first of all, you need to claim your own Social Security before you go and get yourself entitled on a spousal benefit. And that's the only difference.
What are some of the common pitfalls that you see? I mean, one that I see is they take their benefits too early, or the situation you just mentioned where you can have part of your spouse's Social Security benefit at full retirement and allow years to accumulate to age 70, that's growing at 8%. Yolanda, I don't know too many investments that grow steadily at 8% a year guaranteed.
I don't either. And this is why people really should consider very carefully. And that is probably the thing that we see the most, people taking their benefits when they perhaps should have waited on their own record till full retirement age or waited till 70, or really analyzing. And this is the way you do this. Anyone listening today, just go to our website, socialsecurity.gov. Use our retirement estimators. Make sure, first of all, you get a My Social Security account so you can see what your benefits would be today at 62 or at 70. And then you can figure out, well, if I'm 66, maybe I'll take it from my spouse. Or even better, if you've ever been married to anyone else and now you are, let's say, divorced, but you had a 10-year marriage duration, you can also pick and choose who would be the higher benefit to receive your Social Security if you're currently unmarried. So you have options.
Those are some of the options. What are some of the other pitfalls or shortcomings that people have Because, you know, if you go to your website, you read the publications, you have everything from estimating your Social Security. And as you just mentioned, you can apply different option scenarios. What if I wait to age 66 to take my benefits? What would my spouse get? What if I wait to age 70, continue to work? These are the kind of things that become very valuable tools, and you provide them.
We do, and they're for free. So you can come to Social Security. And I think, Jim, really what helps all of us is when we've heard that, well, it sounded like I could do this. The fact that you even bring this as a question to Social Security, and let's say you call our 1-800 number, which is 772-1213, and say, well, I heard that there's ways to maximize my benefits, and perhaps I need to inquire on my spouse or on my previous spouses, and I want to give you the Social Security numbers so you can tell me what would be the best thing. But you will have the answer when you go to our calculator and you sort of start to do this comparison. And if you don't have the Social Security numbers for your former spouses, good news. We can find them for you. So, but all you have to do is ask. And, you know, we can help you. I mean, you know, Social Security is about making sure that if there's any benefits out there, we want to make sure that they're paid to you properly on whatever record you may be entitled to.
You know, one thing I want to talk about here, and that is when you become eligible for Social Security. Let's just take a situation, Yolanda, I'm going to turn 66 this year. No, I'm not. But in this example, I'm going to turn 66. I want to file for Social Security. So many people are used to going into, you know, a Social Security office, getting an appointment. Let's talk about, you've designed your website to make it easy, easy steps to get qualified and set up. Let's talk about how easy that is, because this makes it so much easier than trying to make an appointment, go down, wait in line, and you can do it online and get it done in 15 minutes.
Absolutely. And it's all going to socialsecurity.gov. The only thing you need to know is that when you get ready to apply for your Social Security benefits, go to our website online 3 months before you want to start collecting your benefits. And if you miss the 3 month mark, that's fine. You know, you could do it even within a week of becoming eligible for your benefits. But it's so easy to file your benefits online. And, you know, if you come into a local office, the office hours have changed quite a bit. And just want to let your listeners know, on Wednesdays, all Social Security offices across the country, we close at 12 o'clock. The employees stay there to adjudicate claims, but obviously we're close to the public. And, you know, there's no need to really wait in line when you can actually file for your benefits. The money goes directly to your bank account. If you're born in this country, we probably already have your birth certificate, so you don't need to show any document. If you were in the military service, the application online will ask, you know, what branch and your dates of active duty. We will give you credit for that. If we can't find it, then we might ask you for your DD-214. But everything has been streamlined to make things easy for individuals. We have 10,000 people, Jim, becoming 62 a day. And this is why it's so important that people just know that filing online, whether it's for Medicare, and we should also talk about Medicare, that people can file for Medicare at 65, when you become 65 online, and that application actually takes 12 minutes to complete and get you your Medicare card online.
Can you explain the three-month process before you turn, let's say, full Social Security benefit age, which would be 66 for most people right now applying? Does it take 3 months to get you in the system, you know, like set it up so there's direct payment to your bank account?
It literally can take us up to 3 days, I would say, to file a claim online. But we say to file 3 months before you want to start collecting benefits in case there is a problem. Let's say you have a person who was born in a home, there's no birth certificate, or you have someone who was born in a different country and there is no birth certificate. Some people may have issues where it's probably going to take 3 months to find the documents if Social Security doesn't have them. And that's the general recommendation that we've always said. Just do it 3 months before you want to start collecting. But again, in most cases, we can file a claim today, and in the next 2-3 days, it's processed. The money goes right into your bank account. We are efficient. We just give you a heads up in case you have a problem with the claim, then we want to give you ample time so there is no delay in getting that check to your bank on time.
I want to talk about a situation that we run into more and more today. You may have widows that are out there who, let's say, are at a younger age than their husband that passed away. You have today divorced women, second marriages, or women that are single. What are the important things that they should know in considering Social Security payments for themselves when you're moving into, let's say, a second marriage situation?
Well, if you do have a second marriage and you remarry, here's the number, the magic number. If you remarry after age 60, you're okay. You can now collect benefits on your current spouse if the benefit will be higher. Of course, you have to be married for at least a year to receive benefits on your new spouse if the benefit could be higher. Or if you were getting widow's benefits, you don't lose your widow's benefits if you remarry after age 60. So the key thing is, if you are an unmarried individual or remarry after 60, you can claim on any possible former spouse, divorce, widow, and that goes to whether you're a man or a woman or same-sex marriage. Those benefits are out there for them.
So the key here at, let's say, age 60, you're thinking of getting remarried. Do you have a choice between, let's say, your former husband or your new husband?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. So if you remarry after 60, you have a choice to decide which benefit would pay you the highest.
And the requirement for, let's say, remarrying, let's say, to your new husband is you must be married 1 year before you claim those benefits, let's say, if they're higher?
Yes.
Are there any other things that individuals should be aware of in terms of, you know, we talked about, if you wait to age 66, you get full retirement benefits and you can continue to work. We talked about another key age, age 60, especially for women who are considering remarried. That's the key date. Are there any other key ages that apply to Social Security in terms of receiving benefits?
Well, I think I want to address that to everyone that even has a Social Security number and is now working. And the highlight of even knowing what will your benefit be in the future is getting this My Social Security and making sure, because Social Security takes a high 35 years of your lifetime earnings. We apply a formula, and this is how we determine your monthly benefits. So you need to be very vigilant as the individual that you're working and your Social Security wages are correctly posted to your record. And you go onto My Social Security and make sure of that, especially women. Sometimes they change their name or get a divorce. They don't let Social Security know. Sometimes your employer just makes a mistake and doesn't report the earnings. So it's up to you to make sure that all your years are correctly posted. And if there is a year missing, all you have to do is bring us your W-2 or your last pay stub that shows that you actually had this week, and we will correct it, and we can do that within less than 30 days. And it's important that you do it today because, you know, maybe 20 years down the road and this document is now missing, well, it's going to be pretty hard to give you credit for this information for this year. And that's really what composes what your monthly benefit is. I think that's the most important thing because, you know, one thing is, am I getting paid correctly? The second thing is, what record should I claim from? My own, my current spouse, or any former spouses out there? And this is where people sometimes make the mistake of not understanding, well, did I check my record? No. And do I want to just take it at 62 on my own benefit? You know, we just need to think twice and really get the feel of what can Social Security do for you? And we have the tools out for the public so they can stay informed.
And Yolanda, let's talk about how easy the site is to navigate, because sometimes people aren't tech savvy, or, you know, you can go to some websites and it takes you a while to navigate your way through the site. The most important things I would think for our listeners would be, number one, signing up for Social Security if you're at that age. Number two, if you're planning for retirement, you know, looking up your Social Security earnings or having an idea of what your estimated payments will be at retirement. I think that would be a valuable source. We just talked about if you are a single woman and you're thinking of getting remarried, some of the important things you need to know. Are there similar booklets? You have one called What Every Woman needs to know. Is there one for men?
Oh, of course. Of course. But I would say what every woman should know is the book that a woman should read to their spouse, because then we get it. But here's another one. My second favorite one is called Understanding the Benefits. And this one really covers everything that someone would need to know, because, you know, most of us think we'll get Social Security retirement when I become 66 or 67 or 70. But, you know, Jim, sometimes things happen. And if you become disabled today, well, you could get 100% of your Social Security disability benefits today, whether you're 22 or 27 or 57. I mean, you would now get 100% of whatever you would have gotten at full retirement. So this is why it's important that people focus on the earnings that are accumulated on their record. And by opening this My Social Security account, you can see your hard work, how it's going to be paid off, like with these benefit quotes.
The other thing, too, I think this is really important, especially for individuals that either have deferred compensation payments or looking at a source of income that they don't need right now. Let's say that one spouse doesn't need the Social Security payment because of the income stream coming in. What could be a very valuable tool, as you pointed out, Yolanda, is the 8% growth rate from full retirement age to age 70 for many can substantially increase their Social Security benefits that can come into play at a time as we get into our 70s. We know that we have more medical expenses. We're dealing with more medical issues as you age. That extra payment or the extra amount coming in monthly can really become helpful.
Yes, it is.
And a couple other items I'd like to talk about is there a book out there, or you talked about two, Understanding the Benefits. That should be read by everybody so they understand where it comes into play. Does it cover some of the things that we just talked about, Yolanda, about, let's say, waiting to age 60, how that changes, or waiting to age 66, the key dates within Social Security?
The one thing that you're going to get the best information is creating a My Social Security account. I think because when you see the numbers that it quotes you, your 62 benefit amount versus your 70 benefit amount, or you use our retirement estimators, and let's say you decide, okay, I'm going to stop working today. I'm 57 years of age. What will my benefits be when I'm 70? When you know these solid numbers, that makes all the difference. I mean, you really don't need to have it explain more than seeing, oh, well, maybe I'm better off waiting until 70. So the My Social Security gives you that information. And that information for anyone, you can create an account. If you have an email and you're at least 18 years of age, I highly recommend that everybody start paying attention to what they're putting into Social Security.
And, you know, this is very important, too, especially for young people starting out, because usually a young couple, Yolanda, they might be bringing in student loan debt into the marriage. They may have priorities, for example, paying off debt, maybe saving for a down payment on a home. And for many of them, you know, when you're young and you're in your 20s and you're thinking, oh, you know, Social Security age 66, that's 40 years away. I'm not even thinking about it. But let's talk about young people, what they should know about their benefits so that they can at least feel like, well, maybe I'm not putting too much money away for retirement yet, but this is what I, based on my wages, could look forward to when I retire.
And it's a fabulous tool for a 22-year-old to realize, okay, I'm paying this kind of money into Social Security. And if that individual, this 22-year-old, realizes what their benefit's going to be at 67, and they see that it's not a whole lot, then you hire yourself a financial advisor, because we need to be educated. A young individual really needs to open their eyes that Social Security is not enough to live on. It's really up to that individual. And it's up to all of us to plan for our future and make sure we take care of ourselves. So this is why it highlights someone looking at this number and thinking, okay, well, $1,200 a month when I become 67, you know, 50 years out, that's not enough. This is when you plan. And also, if you do become disabled, what is my disability benefit today as a 22-year-old? So many valuable tools that you can find on our website.
Well, we've got a couple of things. As we conclude here, Yolanda, give out the website and also the phone number, because these are keys. And I would encourage our listeners to really go to the site, download the two articles that we talked about, What Every Woman Should Know, and especially pages 13 and 14. And the other document is called Understanding the Benefits. And those two documents are going to give you a good idea about Social Security.
Yes, so it's www.socialsecurity.gov for government, and our phone number, 1-800-772-1213, and you can find that number available from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and we are ready to assist. We are ready to answer any questions that you have. That's really what we want, people to be very well educated and informed about Social Security, and most important, what's in it for you.
Well, very good, Yolanda. I appreciate you joining us on the program. And once again, if you're an individual listening to this program and you're going to be 66 this year, or maybe you've been working and you're over age 66 and you're not getting your Social Security benefits, do yourself a favor. Go visit that website and download these two programs so you can become better informed about making those major decisions. Yolanda, thanks so much for joining us on the program. As always, we appreciate the update.
Jim, thank you so much. Appreciate it as well. Have a good day.
That concludes my interview with Yolanda York. And folks, please, please, I am making an appeal to you. Do yourself a favor. If you're going to turn 66 this year, register online 3 months before you get your benefits and do yourself a favor. Go to the site. I don't care what age you are. You can be retired and not getting benefits or getting close to benefits, or you can be a single woman. Maybe you're widowed. Maybe you are a single woman raising a family and you're thinking about this. Go download those documents, read them so you can make better choices. I have seen so many individuals make the wrong decision when it comes to Social Security in terms of taking payments. And had an individual that took his payments early instead of waiting to age 66. It would have been a substantial difference. He ended up losing a job, then going back to work, and then losing part of his Social Security benefits. There are so many mistakes that are made here that can be avoided. And I think you're going to be surprised to find the benefits and the alternatives. For example, taking, let's say you're married to a spouse and that spouse is age 66, you can get half of that spouse's benefit for Social Security and not take your own and allow yours to accumulate to age 70 and get over 130% of your benefits at age 70. These are just the kind of things that are so important today in a low interest rate environment. That extra money you get from Social Security can go a long way of making a difference in your retirement. Well, that concludes this week's program. On behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries, or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSN. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.